And here we go! This is the Ignite Rock Podcast, and this is your host, Ahmed Khalifa, and this is where I talk to creative individuals who are creating some awesome stuff using WordPress. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining me. I'm so shocked that you're here today. I'm so happy that you're here today on episode 15 of the Ignite Rock Podcast. Thank you. Whew. This is an exciting one today. So I'll be talking to Carol Aslaw, who runs a digital scrapbooking business and someone who has been doing it for over 10 years. And something different, you know, to the traditional scrapbooking. Really, really interesting discussion. And I really hope you really enjoy it and join in our interview. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's chat with Carol Aslaw. And I'll catch you at the end of the interview. And here we go, everyone. He's got to be an exciting one today. I have Carol Aslaw in today, all the way from Canada. And I'm really, really excited to have Carol on the line today because it's something quite interesting that I don't have a lot of knowledge about, which is digital scrapbooking. So it's really, really good to talk to someone who has been doing it for a long time, understand how it works, understand the business, and obviously talk about, you know, the online presence as well. So Carol, thank you for coming on to the show. I really appreciate your time. And I guess we can just start off with, you know, just an idea of who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I'm actually a speech-language pathologist. That's my day job. And I started working on a computer many years ago when my mom gave me a copy of her PaintShop Pro 7 when she was upgrading to version 8. So she sent me the disk. I think it was actually a copy. Probably was pirated, but back in the days, we didn't know. So I had that, and I installed that program, and it looked good, but I had no clue what to do with it because I had never done graphics or anything similar to that. And so I went online. I found one kind of course. It was like 30 small lessons that will show me like the basic, you know, this tool and that tool and how to add the color and stuff like that. So it was like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool, but okay, what do I do with that next? So I had joined back then a Yahoo group, and they were giving challenges and showing how to make a frame around a photo or how to do this and that. But they were all things that, you know, you do on a computer, you show your friend and say, huh, yeah, nice. And that's it. So it was just like sitting on the computer, nothing concrete with it. And then somebody showed me something about digital scrapbooking or making scrapbook online, or not online, but on the computer using the program that I happened to have, which was PaintShop. And I thought, that is useful. So it's not something that's just going to stay on my hard drive, but it's something I can print. I can make a book. I can send to a friend or family. So that's when I started getting into that. And I was, since there was very few tutorials for PaintShop as a program itself, most tutorials online were for Photoshop back then. So I had to kind of explore the program and play around with the settings, the tools, the commands, and I discovered a few things. I can do this that way, and since I'm kind of a very visual person, I would look at something and try to replicate it with the program. So this is how I started creating tutorials to show people, okay, how you can make a button, how you can make a ribbon, everything with the program without having to scan or photograph. So this is how I kind of started. And eventually over time, I also learned about one function that PaintShop had in a later version, not when the very first version I had, which was scripting. And scripting is a way to record different steps that the program will take for you. And so it will be faster, more accurate, and you can do one ribbon or one button or one something just by clicking and choosing the color, and it would do it. And so from there, I went on and I found one. To my knowledge, there was only one course on scripting for PaintShop. So I took that course, and that is when things kind of went larger. So I did create scripts and started to sell them. Back in the days, I joined an online consignment store, which was, it's like an online store. I guess it's a little like Etsy now, but somebody owns a store and they have designers come in and you sell your stuff. You get 80% of the sales and the owner keeps 20% or 30%, depending on the stores and the owners and what else. So I started that way, but back, about 10 years ago, many stores were opening, but not all of them stayed open. So I guess either it was too much work or people just changed their mind or for whatever reason. So I decided to open my own store. So that is when I learned that you could open your own store using ZenCart as a platform. So that's what I used first. So I opened my own store, didn't know much about it. No, I did a lot of tweaking, searching online, forum help. And once in a while I had somebody can you help me? Somebody who was more advanced than me, who was already more familiar with all the back end and, you know, everything like that. So I built my own store and that store is still up now. So I have I think I passed over 500 products in there. So I've been adding products every week for 6-7 years. Can't remember. Kind of long. So this is how I started my store. But around the same time, I started teaching scrapbooking using the PaintShop program. And so people wanted more tutorials. They wanted to know more. And I started, you know, making tutorials for them. And back in the days, I built a site. Don't even ask me how I don't even know how to edit it now. So I can't even remember. The site is still up and that's all I know. Haven't touched it because I then transferred to, building my own when I, started with WordPress. I was told that WordPress was a good platform and I didn't know anything else. So I went by recommendations and I started the WordPress site. Since it was free, it was perfect for my budget. Just like ZenCart, it was free. So really kind of scrapping all the pennies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, things went on, but I'm kind of familiar with WordPress, but I'm far from a pro. So whenever I have a problem, I have to go and search. You know, Google's my friend. I have other friends now. Groups on Facebook, my mastermind, there's always somebody around to help. So this is where I started. I built in 2011. So that's 6 years ago. It's the site that's called the Scrapbook Campus, where I teach scrapbooking using PaintShop and sometimes using PaintShop for something else than scrapbooking. Because when you use a program and you learn the technique that can be used with scrapbooking, well, you can also use it for something else. If you're doing card, like I have a lot of members, they are card makers. So you make cards for birthdays and weddings and whatever. And some people actually sell those cards, let's say on Etsy or other platforms. So they just learn about PaintShop. PaintShop is the program, the main program, and the angle is scrapbooking, but then you can learn that and just go wherever you want. I have several members who are not scrapbookers, but they come in and they follow all the tutorials just to learn the techniques and the use of the tools and so on. So this is kind of my journey through that digital scrapbooking. That was like the long story.
No, it's fine. It's
interesting that, you know, there was opportunity. It was all offline. You know, you're saying someone showing you something about scrapbooking the offline way, and then you're looking at it in a more digital way, and then gradually twist and turning, and you pivot, and you try different things, and programs and platforms. You know, you've done so many things over the years, you know, trying to make it work. And it's just really interesting because I've never really thought about scrapbooking in a digital way. And I know that there's, you know, internet, online computer, you can pretty much do anything online now. But I just never thought about scrapbooking. So am I correct in, you know, I'm going to be very naive and as a newbie, that the difference between scrapbooking and digital scrapbooking, really scrapbooking is you have a scrapbook where you can, you know, take pictures and paste it on your book, and then you keep memories, and you gradually build up a scrapbook about a particular theme, topic, whether it's about a holiday or a best friend. And a digital one is obviously a digital version. My wife and I, we have the traditional guest book in paper, and the table, it has all the, you know, the sticky pad and the stickers and the pen and the Polaroid camera. Yeah, it's fun, you know, everyone interact with it, but at the end of the day, there's only one book. You can't share it with everyone. It takes up room. It's nice memory, of course. There's no complaint about it.
Yeah.
But of course, you can't, you're right, I can't really share it with anyone. And because if only one is available, you take extra care of it. You're so worried that it's going to get damaged, or you lose it, or something happens to it. So there's a bit of a fear factor around that. So I can understand what you're saying.
Definitely. And also, digital scrapbooking has, like, since everything is on your laptop, you can decide you travel, whether it's for work or something. You can bring your laptop and you can do scrapbooking. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that. Well, you can, but you kind of limit it if you have to bring all your papers and scissors and stuff like that. You might have a whole suitcase just for scrapbook supplies, versus you can do that with your computer. You can sit by the pool if you want to have your computer there, but you can still do it at the park. And so it's really, and one other thing that I really particularly like with digital scrapbooking is what I call the oops button.
Okay.
It's like you control Z. You can always undo something if you don't like it.
Oh, of course.
Versus in paper scrapbooking, if you cut that photo, oh, you cut it too small. Darn. It's like, what can I do? You know, I have to be a bit creative and find another way. Or if you use that button, no, I don't know. If you have a dozen buttons and you already used six, and maybe for your next project you wanted to, oh, darn, I wanted eight to place that way, but I only have six. With digital, you just copy and paste. Mm-hmm. You can have a million buttons if you want. And, oh, it's not the right blue. I can change shade of blue in with my computer. I can't necessarily do it with an actual physical button.
Yeah.
You know, it's blue, I wanted it pink.
Yeah.
Or I wanted yellow, or, you know. So there are many things that can be done digitally, and that you, it's harder to do with the paper scrapbooking. And another advantage is, especially if you have young kids at home or pets, how often can you drop something that is small and you don't want the child to choke on it, or your pet to eat your little beads or buttons or something like that? You don't have that problem at all when you do digital.
God, it's a lot of benefit. I can see it more and more now that it has a lot of benefit and makes life easier in so many ways as opposed to the traditional way. So I can definitely understand where you're coming from. And I was going to ask you, because you gave a few examples of, you know, for using a scrapbook as a child growing up at the weddings, all these examples. So is there a traditional demographic target market that tend to be more involved with digital scrapbooking? Is there a specific audience that tend to favor it, or is it very open for everyone?
It seems to me it's pretty open. I guess it depends on I've seen some people who started digitally and never did paper scrapbooking. I've seen people doing paper scrapbooking and transitioning to digital. And I know some people who are still doing both. So I guess it kind of depends on maybe your goal. Maybe you have only one album for your child, or you're making one because you want to have, I don't know, their drawing or their handwriting in the book. You want to have the physical paper to put in, or you might want to make an album and have the stub for your concert that you attended, or no, things like that. You want to have something tangible, and maybe you will want to do something more traditional paper base. But, you know, everything can also be, you know, scanned, and then you put in a digital format too. So it depends. I've seen some younger ones, and you know, younger people are more technology inclined, I would say, because, you know, technology is all around them. And they think that, you know, it goes faster and it's easier. It's whatever. It's like, it's part of their world to have a computer and do things on a computer. You know, they don't look in the dictionary anymore. They just look on Google. It's,
yeah.
You know, ask kids, you know, what's a dictionary? They say, what?
Yeah.
Simply because it's there all the time. So I've seen some younger ones, but I know that on my site, I have somebody not long ago who asked me a question and said, oh yeah, I forgot, you know, I'm 82 years old. And I was thinking, what? Wow. 82 years old and she's on the computer and doing scrapbooking. Like, why not? I'm like, why? That's
fantastic.
Sure. So it's really very wide. And even though, you know, we might think that older people are not on a computer, I think it's not accurate. Maybe not most of them, because it's a new medium for them, but a lot of them have enough time to learn and have an interest in that. So
I think it's great.
It's pretty wide.
Yeah. No, I think it's brilliant that you said that, you know, young and old, they can get involved in anything, not just digital scrapbooking, but getting involved in a computer and creating something. I think that's brilliant. You know, it shouldn't be age limit or gender limit or creativity limit or whatever. You know, it's very open, and it's quite nice that what you do, what you offer and what you teach is something that literally anyone can do, anyone can learn. So there's no barrier really to enter.
No, and I would say probably kids would be able to use a computer also to do scrapbooking. I don't have any registered because, well, I guess under 13, they would need no parents' permission and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
And probably they're too busy with school. But yeah. I know some people are saying, well, when my grandson is coming, you know, I make him and he works on the computer too. So, like, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. And that's the thing with, you know, with the younger audience, they have a lot of options to go in terms of, if they go online, go on the internet, and they have a lot of things that can be distracting to them. You know, social media is one of them, as well as so many other websites and all these things. What's the challenge? Is there like a big threat to your business, to digital scrapbooking, because there's so many options out there online to create something, anything? Is there a challenge to you? Is it like social media? Is that stopping you, or is that hindering your growth? What are your challenges?
I find that for me, specifically for my business or my site, the challenge is the fact that there's still more visibility for Photoshop tutorial and Photoshop products. You go online and you can find actions for Photoshop. You have plugins for Photoshop, which is kind of funny because a lot of plugins that are said for Photoshop can be used with PaintShop too, but you just don't say it. So it's not as visible. You have some sites where you can download or purchase brushes for Photoshop, but you can use the same ones for PaintShop. You cannot use everything from Photoshop in PaintShop, but a lot of them you can, but it's not as visible. And if you go online for scrapbooking tutorials, you're probably going to get a ton of tutorials for Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, but not as many for PaintShop. So when I, in my business, if you come in and you have Photoshop and you want to take my courses or follow my tutorials, you won't be able to unless you're really, really familiar with your program and you can say, okay, you know, these are the steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. And for my program, I have to do 1, 3, 2, and 4, or I have to do 1, 2, 5. And yeah. I have to do things slightly differently. If you are very familiar with your program, you can probably work around that. Just the same as PaintShop. Users who are really familiar with their program can probably follow a tutorial for another program, but it's not always easy. And this is where people like the content of my site is if they are not super familiar and, you know, power users of PaintShop, well, they can get a lot of, you know, guidance and tips and tricks and techniques and so on. So right now my challenge is mostly to identify who is using PaintShop for scrapbooking. Because I have a lot of people using PaintShop, but they're not scrapbookers. And there are lots of people doing scrapbooking, but not using PaintShop. So it's like niche down, but it's a little, that's a bit of the challenge. And I can go and look for somebody who's doing traditional paper scrapbooking and try to show them the advantage of trying digital. And maybe they will, but maybe they won't. You know, it's not because you're doing something that you necessarily want to convert to a different medium. Maybe some people are just comfortable with their paper scrapbook, and that's perfectly fine too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's very interesting that the power of Photoshop is the first thing that people think about, isn't it? If you want to edit anything, immediately the first thing in your mind, it's almost like a verb, isn't it? It's just Photoshop.
Yes. Photoshop it.
But... yes. Yeah, it's like, you know, like how Google is the first thing you think about, just Google it. You don't hear people say just Bing it or all the other ones as well.
Yeah, so, Yahoo it.
Oh, Yahoo it, yeah. Oh, that's back in the day. So it's quite interesting that you said that. But then obviously, you know, another very, very popular platform that I love to talk about as well is, you know, WordPress. And it's obviously something that a lot of people are familiar with if they are working with online industry, website, you know, all these kind of thing. So WordPress is, you know, it's a big name. But you said yourself that, you know, someone recommended it to you and advised you to use it for your own website. And it'd be interesting to know, what was your first experience with WordPress like? And how are you finding it? What are the kind of general feeling about you using it on a day-to-day basis for your website? How are you experienced with it right now?
Well, when I started, the first thing I did was to create a blog that would go with my store. So just a blog to promote the new products. So it was basically just a blog with nothing else than that. And I remember trying to figure out things, and I wanted to have something on the side and I couldn't figure it out. And then I posted a question in the forum for scrapbookers, and someone said, well, did you enable the widget? And I said, what is a widget? Because I thought I had heard the word widget and I had heard the word plugin, and I thought they were the same thing.
Right.
So I said, oh yeah, I have it. But no, I had put a plugin and not a widget. I didn't know what a widget was. So I was really, really totally new to that. So they had to kind of explain to me that, no, that's different. No, the widget is this, and versus a plugin does that, and it's completely different things. So when I did my own site, one thing that I always hated was HTML. So when I started my site, and they said, and someone was saying, well, you know, you just have to change the code in there for the header and for the width of your, it's like, what are you talking about? I was like, to me, it was complete foreign language. And even to this day, I can get the very basic, but I usually have to do copy and paste because I can never remember the code for this or that. Or, okay, I have to put an image that is going to be 400 pixels wide. I can't even remember how to code. Okay, do I have the, is there a quotation mark there? Is there a before, after? I have no idea. So it's like, to me, that's, I always say I'm allergic to HTML and CSS. So don't give me a theme where I have to play with HTML and CSS. No way. So back in 2011, I was looking for a theme, and I stumbled upon back then one drag and drop theme that was Headway. Headway theme. Back in the day, I think that was the only one that I found. So I installed it. That was back in version 2. And it was like, okay, it's a drag and drop. So it's just like when I work with my paint shop, you know, I can put an image and I can layer and I can put it beside. I can select. It's really so much easier. So I don't have to fiddle with HTML much at all. I mean, I do, but it's very minimal. So I kind of started that way, and then I needed a plugin for membership or to protect my content because I wanted to sell the content. And again, I was looking around and I was really penny pinching. So I found there was, back in the days, I think there was Wishlist member, S2 member, and there was a third one. I can't remember which one it was. But of the three, S2 member had a free version, not a trial version, but a free version. So I thought, well, I'm going to go in and try that. So at least I don't have only 7 days or 14 days to try and see. I can, you know, use it for 3 months. If I don't like what I have, then I can try something else. But I stayed with S2 member, and I think I went for the pro version only about 2 years later, just because I wanted to have one functionality that was not in the free version. But for the rest, no, the free version was fine. But again, I remember I was annoying everybody on the forum, the support forum. They must have been tired of seeing my posts of how do I do this and how do I do that. And they would refer me to this and that. And like, I would spend hours trying to figure out how to set it up because because I did not want to have only what was available. I was kind of picky and I wanted something different and I wanted something more advanced. But otherwise, you know, if I had just wanted what was there, it would have been very simple, but I was too picky. So I kept asking, you know, how about this and what do I do for that? And so, but I was totally new to WordPress. So, you know, you add WordPress, I had the new theme that I wasn't familiar with. I had a membership plugin that I was not familiar with. Everything was so new for me. So it was kind of a struggle. I would say it took me a good 4 months to at least set things up. I started building the site, I think it was in February, and I opened the actual membership in September. In the meantime, I had put content and, you know, tried to format my site. And I guess in a way, I wasn't exactly sure where I was going to go because I did not know what the power of WordPress and plugins and all that was. So I would imagine somebody starting now with an idea, okay, I want to have a course this way, I want to have a forum there, and I want to have a login page there or my about page there, and I want to have a resource page. If you have a bit of an idea at least a blueprint or skeleton of what you want on your site, it might be a little easier to build. Just like if you want to build a house, it's better if you have a plan before. You know, you don't bring in the contractors. Well, no, let's have a kitchen there. Oh, no, maybe a little larger there. You know, so that's probably the struggle I had when I started, because I had no idea what I was doing. And I had a very vague idea of what I was planning, what I wanted as an end result. But over time, I kind of started to be a little more focused on, okay, one thing at a time. Okay, I want to have this functionality, or I want to have this kind of page. Okay, how do I do it? Okay, next, go to something else instead of going to, you know, 30 different things at once.
Yeah, multi-passing.
But I don't know. Maybe that's what happens when anybody starts. But I only started once. Now when I start something else, I kind of have that in the back of my mind that I was all over the place.
And you persisted. This is the thing, you persisted though. I mean, you didn't know anything about WordPress. You know, you're trying to understand all these jargon and words and all these things. And you kept on going because it's easy to look at it and you think, you know what, this is not for me. I'm just going to leave and stick to my old format, or just, you know, don't bother trying again. But I like how, you know, you said that, you know, you're not a technical person. You know, you don't like HTML and CSS and all these things. You know, it's something that you avoid at all costs. And I can sense that what you're saying. But, you know, it's not stopping you from creating, you know, some kind of platform and a visual representation of business. And it's not stopping you from trying to build something. And by yourself, it seemed like as well, because you're on a shoestring budget as well, so you want to really be careful where you spend your time and money, and you kept on going. So I quite like what you said about how, you know, you focus on one task at a time. You call it like a blueprint. I've got, okay, I'm going to focus on this task, focus on that, that's done, move on to the next one. Whereas instead of that, some people have like, you know, 50, 100 different mini tasks and they jump from one thing to another. You don't like doing that. And it kind of makes sense because multitasking is something that, you know, I don't agree with. I don't really think it's a thing. People boast about being able to multitask, but at the end of the day, if you multitask, nothing is getting your 100% focus. And what you want is, you know, you want to have that focus on one particular thing at a time so you can get it done quickly and a high quality, stuff like that as well. So all that challenges that you had, you know, you kept on fighting and you kept on going. So what would you say to those people who are approaching, you know, their first website or they're using WordPress for the first time? What advice would you give to those who are in that same situation, and how would you advise them to move forward with it? Sorry.
Well, I would say go one step at a time. So, because right now, whenever you hear about, I don't know, courses or mentors, they say, "Well, come in. I have the blueprint that you can build your, you know, six-figure business and so on." There's so many moving parts, and if you try to do everything at once, you're just not going to know what is working. So it's like, for example, there's a friend of mine, and he's kind of interested in doing something in the health and fitness space. And he said, "Oh, yeah, but no, that's complicated. No, making a site and having a mailing list and doing this and doing that." I said, "Oh, look, wait. First, you can probably make your product and just post something on Facebook and tell people, okay, send me an email and I'll send you the ebook. Or send me $5 on PayPal and I'll send you the ebook." When you start, you can start very manual, very low tech, or start with something. And from there, you'll be a little bit more comfortable with that one part. Then you can expand a little bit. If you are immediately looking at the big picture, you're just going to get scared and lost and confused. It's so easy to start. You know, if the first thing you start with is, okay, I have to have a lead magnet, I have to have a PDF, I have to have a place to host it, and I have to have a payment processing, I have to have an email list provider. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Start low, slow. You can start with a website. Okay, you have hosting. Okay, that's a basic if you want to go online. You build your WordPress and you find any theme. But don't start with, oh, I have to find my logo. I have to find the, it's like there's so many accessories, I would call them, to your business. Don't start with the accessories. You know, you don't build a house thinking what's going to be the color of my curtains. You know, you build a house with the foundation. How big do I want it? How many rooms do I want? And one step at a time, you go to the next one. So each step is going to be more manageable than if you look right away for, 100 feet further. So if you start with WordPress, don't start with 20 plugins. You might end up with 20 plugins at the end, but you don't need to start that way. You know, you start with the plugin for maybe an SEO. Okay, you put one. Usually there's one available. And, you know, it's like you don't need too many things at once. Start slow. You do one page, two pages. You might have the blog, because when you start with WordPress, you obviously have a blog. When you have a blog, well, add one page. It's going to be about you. Okay, that's fine. Then maybe you can add another page. That's going to be with whatever product you want to promote. Now, you just go one step at a time and forget about the, I need to have a six-figure business with, 100,000 email subscribers. And it's nice to dream that, but it's just like your dream home when you get the contractor to come and start building your house. You have to have a plan and you have to have that first step. You don't get the plumber and the electrician and the roofers right away. One step at a time. To me, that's the best way to build it. And sure, some people will do everything like that in 6 months. Good for them. But it can be also daunting if you're expecting it to take only 6 months and you're 5 months in and you're nowhere near. I did not open my membership until 7 months after I was building my site. So it's there's no point in trying to finish everything for tomorrow.
That's a very good point. It makes sense. I think a lot of things that you said really does make sense. You start with a website. You don't need to have 20 plugins right now. Build it up. When you need it, then you can get something. You look for the solution. These kind of thing. I love the analogy of, if you're building a house, you're not going to think about the color of the curtain. I love that. I think that's true. You think about the bigger picture, which is the foundation, really. Start from there, and then you build on top of it more and more and more. You're right. You're not going to get someone to make you a curtain if you have no house. I quite like that analogy. It's really, really interesting. It's a good way of putting it. So thank you for sharing that. What would you say is your biggest strength?
As far as the business, it would be, one would be my expertise, and second would be my willingness to keep going and be proactive. Over the years, I have been able to do some public relation with big names, and the biggest name for me is Corel, which is the makers of the program. And I got in touch with them, I don't know how many years. I remember I even have a copy of an actual letter that I sent by mail, you know, with a stamp in an envelope. Because I couldn't find an email back then.
Oh God, shock horror.
I printed the paper, put it in an envelope, put a stamp and send it to them, to the head office. I have no idea if anybody saw that letter. I never heard from anybody afterward. But I kept getting involved in, for example, their user-to-user forum on their Facebook page and giving, you know, helpful information and eventually, well, kind of they noticed me, and 5-6 years ago, they actually invited me to join their beta testing team. And at one point, and I was getting an email from somebody saying, well, you know, what are you using PaintShop for when you do scrapbooking? And they wanted to get an opinion from somebody who's not just a photo editor, because PaintShop was often seen as the program to use to fix your photos, and that was about it. Not much else was mentioned, even though the program was powerful enough to do other things. So I started getting more contact, and eventually I was asked to, you know, contribute a blog post for them. And, you know, things went very slowly, and it's definitely not something that went overnight. It took, I think, was 6 years. It's, well, I mean, not 6 years until something happened, but I needed to give and give without asking, and show that I cared about their product. And I care also about my members, my clients. And to me, that's like that relationship, whether it's with the company or with my clients. For example, I sell scripts, and scripts might sometimes not work with your program. Not exactly that. You might buy a script and you might try to run it and it doesn't work. Sometimes it could be because you didn't read the instructions. That's something common. Sometimes it could be because you're using a different version and maybe the program changed, and I did not recheck all my 400 scripts with all the, you know, 20 some options. And if you come and you email me, for example, and you say, well, you know, it's not working. Okay, I'll do a lot of troubleshooting, and if needed, I will actually recode the script, because maybe you found a little bug. It's possible. You know, sometimes there's so many options in a script that I code that depending if you have a vector layer or a raster layer and all 1,000 pixels, 50 pixels, so many variables can happen and I cannot test them all. So what I'll do is I'll make it right. So far, I haven't had one customer who emailed me and I couldn't get the script to work. So I think that's one strength, is that I still have a small enough list and a customer base that I'm able to respond to every email one by one manually, and I'll get things right. So I think that the PR part, you know, whether it's with customers, whether it's with partners or else, I think it's a strength, and that makes my customers come back and my partners keep me around.
I think it's great. I think you make a good point that you, as well as we talk about you being persistent, but also, you know, you go out of your way to help your customers and your client, and also, you know, you're using this, working with Coral and using them, their products again and again, and you send in a letter to them, something that, you know, you never hear anybody do that. You never hear people sending a letter to a company or a brand. It just doesn't happen. But
not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah, easy. Email, that's it, done. It's definitely the easy option. But I like that, you know, it's because of your attitude, and, you know, you're going to try and get something done, get something fixed, and so on and so forth. You know, it makes people happy. It makes people around you happy with what you offer, what you provide. And I think it's really, really cool as well. It's what you do. So it's something that I think a lot of us can learn as well, is that give a lot, and you will receive, maybe not immediately, maybe not intentionally, but it will happen by itself, that you will receive something in the end, sometime without asking for it as well. So keep giving. You just never know what you will get out of that as well. So, you know, we're going to twist it around, and also I want to know, what is your biggest weakness and how do you go around it?
My biggest weakness, I think right now, is being able to reach new people. And somehow there's some niche where if you have one client who's happy, they can tell their friends, and they're possibly can become, you know, customers. But in my niche, sometimes I have, well, sometimes often people say, well, I'm the only one. I don't know anybody else who uses PaintShop, like everybody else is using Photoshop. So it's like a lot of my target are isolated somehow. So it's kind of hard for me to say, well, no, tell your friends, because their friends don't care about that. So right now, this is my struggle, is to reach more people. And not only about, you know, PaintShop per se, but thinking about scrapbooking, memory keeping. I guess it's not the kind of thing you think of very much. I like to focus a lot on memory keeping, because, you know, when you're not there anymore, all your stories in your head, they're going to be gone. If you don't put them down, nobody else will have them. And we see that often. You know, we have a family gathering and somebody is missing. So, oh, yeah. Remember that? Oh, no. What now? Oh, she was telling the story so much better, you know, but the person's not there. So, but the thing is that people tend to think, well, I'll do that later. Like many things, and then later doesn't come. And so it's, to me, I find that the challenge is the fact that what I can offer is not the kind, it's not like an aspirin for your headache. You have a headache, you're looking for that, but it's more of a, it has to be a desire, a want, and it's not necessarily a pain. So whenever you hear about, you know, find a pain point, well, it's not necessarily a pain yet, but, you know, maybe when it's going to be a pain, it's going to be too late. So I find that this is my biggest struggle, and I'm trying to find different ways. I haven't really found the golden button or the magic button, the easy button, whatever button you call it, to reach those people who could look at my product and say, oh, yeah, that's interesting, you know, because it's not like, oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for, you know. I don't know how many people wake up in the morning thinking, I wonder where I can learn digital scrapbooking. You know, they'll have to hear about it first and say, oh, that's interesting, you know, and then get, I wouldn't say convinced, but get more informed of what it is. And it's like more interested, okay, gradually interested into it. It's not like I'm going to present you a sales page and say, right, digital scrapbooking, perfect. That's what I was looking for. I don't know. That's not how it is. It's So that's my biggest struggle. And if at one point I can find that right way to reach those people, I'll be able to offer more, and I'll have more people who can then share their stories with their families and friends, and capture them and document them and share them.
I think if you're definitely right that even for me, I don't really think about it immediately when I think of scrapbooking or digital scrapbooking. It's not something that I think about immediately in my head, whether I wake up in the morning or the rest of the day. Yeah. It's not something that comes into my mind that it's a pain point that I need to kind of fix. But you're right. It's something that I should think about more often, because all these memories, you want to keep it, you know, even if it's on paper. Okay, fine. If that's your way, then okay, you know, have it on paper or have it written down or, you know, pictured and so on. But you make a good point that, you know, you say, I'll do it later. But later never comes. So hopefully, you know, hopefully this podcast will raise some awareness and get people thinking about their memories and how they're going to keep it and stuff like that. So that'd be good if we can.
And also, another thing is that, you know, scrapbooking, digitally or not, it's not only about you, but for some people, remember, you have parents that are aging. They have so many stories to tell. Where are those stories stored? In their head. And, you know, how can you keep that, you know, in the family? Or how can grandma or great grandma's story of when she went there, or, you know, how are those stories going to be shared with your kids and grandkids if they're not put down anywhere on paper or digitally? Or it's not only for your memories, but, you know, you have the older generation and they're aging, and sometimes memory can fail at that age. So let's not wait too long.
Yeah. And that's very true.
Great opportunity sometimes for those people who are between generations, you know, they're still taking care of, they still have older parents maybe at home, or they're still living and they still have kids, and you can make the bridge that way too.
You're selling it to me. No, but it's a good point. But you're right though. It's not just about you for your own memory, but it's people around you, your people in your family, your relative, your friends. You want to share it together, and it's always nice to share memories together like that, whether it's digital or not. No, sharing is caring at the end of the day. So then if we get to finish off, we've got, you know, a few minutes to go. If we get finished off and we get sentimental about it, what are you most proud about with your business?
I would say what my drive is when I get comments about, oh, I've been able to do this, or, oh, I didn't know that. To me, it's like the fact that I can help somebody discover something, whether it's about their own story, about the program they're using, but just that they're discovering and learning. Just recently I had somebody, we had a challenge, and the challenge was to create a silhouette out of a picture. So it could be a silhouette of, you know, a person or something. And someone posted a scrapbook page, and she said, these are the photos that were destined for the trash can because the lighting was wrong. It was a set of pictures of sculptures or something like that. And because the lighting was wrong, the colors were wrong. But then she turned those sculptures into silhouettes. And now nobody would know that the pictures were wrong. So it's like she said, now they're a piece of art. And I'm proud of them. So that's what I'm proud of, is like when I see people being able to say, well, here was a bad photo of my great grandma, you know, I didn't know what to do with it. Now, because I learned the techniques, I can fix that. Or I have only one picture of my parents at their wedding, and the picture was damaged and stained, and now I learn how to clean that up, and now I have a really nice picture that I can frame. So having people, like, when they comment and find that they can now enjoy something, whether it's enjoying a story, enjoying a photo, enjoying a memory from what I teach, that's my drive.
I think it's really nice. I think it's really beautiful, actually. I mean, the whole thing you're talking about today, the theme of, you know, storing your memories and sentimental values, I think it's a very nice way to kind of end this interview about that you have helped someone to store their most precious memories because of a technique that they have learned from yourself as well. So I think it's a very, very nice thing to share. So that's really, really good. And I have to say again that I really, really appreciate your time and sharing your stories like that, and a lot of sentimental stories as well. A lot of things that people have to think about, you know, about storing your memories and in the digital format as well is one option. So, you know, just pointing that out there, listeners. Not trying to sell it to you, but there is another way to store your memories. So, if people want to get in touch with you, connect with you, where can they find you?
Well, they can just visit the campus. So the URL is scrapbookcampus.com. Very simple. There's always a little yellow help me button. So click on that, and you can contact me through the contact us. I can't remember which one is on the site, and I'm always available. I answer every email one by one personally, and there's so much that you can get in the site, and you don't even have to purchase. There's a blog, there's something every week. If you want to give it a try, it's there. There's some free stuff you can benefit, tutorials to get you started and see if you like it. And you might discover that you like it more than you thought.
Yeah. You never know. You never know until you try.
Absolutely.
That's very true. So if it's something interesting that anyone is thinking of doing, check it out. It'd be something that you never know. You're probably going to enjoy it more than you think. So, Caro, thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
And that is it. Thank you, Caro, for coming onto the show again. Really appreciate your time and sharing some beautiful stories about memories and how you should think about storing them as well. And that's the main thing you picked about today, listeners. I mean, yes, we talk about business, we talk about WordPress and website, but there's also sentimental side of things in life and in your memories as well. You have to think about storing them. And whatever you do, make sure you store your memories, whether it's online or offline. You have options, and that's what Caro mentioned, is that if you do it in a digital way, you can always have access to them and you can share your memories with everyone. It's a really, really good point as well. So something that we should all think about. So thank you for listening to the episode. If you are interested in the show notes, they are available on igniterock.com/episode15, and you have all the information, the transcription, and links to everything I've talked about. So one final thing, if I can ask if you can subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, that would be awesome. Really help me to reach out to as many people as possible about the power of WordPress and how it can help you. So in the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.